Or,
no, come on.
Maybe it was the Hispanic joke. Opposed to the Asian joke and the.
Maybe you just didn't pay your bill when you had a little bit of extra shtick. You thought you were talking. He was actually on the clock.
Yeah. Maybe that's possible. That's entirely possible. Okay. Fine. The goal today is to get to the bottom of Chav Ches Amid Beis. We have not decided completely what we're going to be doing on Wednesday, but I guess we'll decide that on Monday.
I think we should probably do it on Wednesday.
I don't think I can do Wednesday.
You don't think you can do Wednesday?
No.
Can you do Friday night? Because if we could do Friday night, then we're okay. Just pre-Seder or pre-Seder share?
I mean, that's what they say. Thursday night is not an option for anyone.
Thursday night is not an option. Thursday night, I agree with you, it's not an option.
So it's either Wednesday or nothing, right?
It's Wednesday or nothing, or Tuesday, or Monday and Tuesday. That's a possibility.
We're turning over the kitchen either Monday or Tuesday.
That's true. No, you're right. I'm turning over the kitchen on Tuesday night. So, no, that's not possible.
I go into Tel Aviv on Tuesday.
So okay, so that's not possible. So, all right, so Mistama, what we'll do, Mistama, what we'll do is we will do Monday night and we will skip, and then we'll make up the time. I mean, there's only a couple dapim left, but we'll make up the time over the course of the next few shiurim. We'll make up a few lines and we'll ultimately get there.
I mean, is there.
We're going to have an issue also in Chol HaMoed and Thursday Shana Chamor, because that's Leil Yom Tov.
Okay, so that we can do Wednesday night because nobody has an excuse that they're cleaning for Pesach. this whole cleaning for Pesach thing is thrown out the window.
Okay, but then it's Chol HaMoed.
It's Chol HaMoed, and what, you have to count Sphira. Well, what's the problem? What's the problem now?
We go away. We do things. I don't know.
You do things at 8:30 at night.
It's possible. It is possible.
No, it's not possible. Okay?
I will in any case be away.
What?
I will be away for Pesach.
Oh, you're going to be away for Pesach, but that's okay. But that doesn't matter if it's Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday.
Yeah, it doesn't make a difference what day.
Okay, fine. Very good. Somebody's going to a hotel for Pesach. Very good. Okay.
Come on.
What?
He's going to a hotel.
No, not going to a hotel.
No, it's not a hotel.
Oh, okay. Motel.
Mother-in-law.
I got it. Okay. Very good. Here we go. Tana Rabbanan, Gemara says, on Chav Ches Amid Aleph, this is the Daf of Koach. So we should have the Koach to make it through here.
Where are we? Make
it the last line. Remember. Last line of the Gemara.
Where are we?
Yes, this is very easy, Gemara. Well, we're on the very, very end of Chav Ches Amid Aleph, Tana Rabbanan. Batik Nesilas of Enog Mahen Kalus Rosh. At Beis Knesses, you're not allowed to be lightheaded. You cannot treat it with levity. Ein ochlam bahen, you're not allowed to eat. Ve'ein sholosim bahen. These are all examples of levity that you cannot do. You cannot eat or drink. Ve'ein osim bahen, you're not allowed to adorn yourself, whether it's a woman with makeup or a man to look nicer and to comb his hair, I don't know, to dress nicer or something like that. I don't know exactly what would be. Rashi says, "Vein miskashed in
l'tocho." You don't put on makeup and jewelry.
How does that apply to a man? And you know, in what respect is with the nafkamina? What?
Applies to women.
Yeah. Okay, maybe miskashed in. I don't know.
We do eat in Beis Knesses.
We do. There is a heter nowadays to eat in the Beis Knesses because otherwise it would lead to bittul Torah. But. And for Tamili Chachamim, whose homes, the Gemara is going to say, whose homes are the Beis Medrash, essentially. So they also have a heter to do so.
I thought we were talking about Beis Knesses here, not Beis Medrash.
Yes, we're talking about Beis Knesses. L'chor, it would probably be the same thing.
We tzuras l'shit in Beis Knesses.
What?
We tzuras l'shit.
Yeah, but that's a mitzvah. So, but yeah, Nechlam, but there is meeting. You're eating there. Yeah, Nechlami, you're right. But anyway, Ve'i Nechnasim. We were just wondering, and then I forgot what your email was, and I didn't want to sound like I was pressuring you, but at the same time, where were you?
In America.
For what, 6 months?
You guys have your families here, so you just run and come back.
No, my family's in America.
All right, welcome.
We need to talk about it more often.
You know what, Baruch Hashem, I told these guys we need two tables tonight, and he was like, no, we don't need two tables. What do we need two tables?
He yelled at us. He tried to pull the tables apart.
He tried to pull them apart and everything. It was getting very aggressive.
I came in here anyway, with one table. I said, wait,
Don't believe his lies. First
anywho,
we're on one table. With one table, you can only sit three people.
Yeah. Well, at the time there was only three.
Yeah, at the time there was only three, and then we were debating whether more were going to come, and whether Mini Callus was going to come, and we had almost given up on you, and then somebody brought you up, and apparently, I guess we did some kind of trias amesim because you're back. So very good. Welcome back. I hope your 6 month stay was good.
It was 3 weeks.
Well, whatever it was. You were so dearly missed that it felt like 6 months. Okay. Anyway, we were talking on the Tavuk Chachesim and Beis. We're saying that a Beis Knesses you have to treat with a certain level of gravity and respect, and that you cannot have Kalus Rosh. And some of the things of Kalus Rosh are eating and drinking and Neosin, which is Miskashtin, to be adorning yourself, putting on makeup and perfumes and colognes, I guess.
They metalim. People smell really bad at the time, so
they smell bad even now.
Oh, well, that's definitely very true.
They smell maybe, very, very bad.
Maybe the men adored themselves with the fragrances more at the time because
it
could be. Smelled really bad.
It could be. And nowadays they're very makvid, and so they don't do it, and so we're just deprived of deodorant filled cologne.
They wanted to be able to connect with the Arabs some way.
I understand. Okay, very good. What line? The metalim bahem. And you're not allowed to be matayel in a Beis Knesset. This is another interesting thing because we really kind of don't do that at all. Like we're very matayel in Beis Bante Knesset. You go to a Beis Knesset in Tzvas, and all of a sudden everybody's like, you know, like taking pictures, like it's an art form. What?
Like the synagogue for my wife grew up in Poland.
Right.
They refurbished it and turned it like basically in a museum. Cause
but is it used as a shul?
Very rarely.
So then I can say maybe it's more really has been more of a Beis Knesset Shacharav type of thing.
But we have
Bante Knesios in Eretz Yisrael where people like you know literally like people are taking their fancy cameras. They're like doing all
the
these.
Bell Synagogue in Yerushalayim. The Bells.
Yeah. What? Yeah. There's a huge beautiful building in Matisdorf in Kiryat Bells. Yeah.
You can do a tour of it.
It's the biggest synagogue in the world.
What is?
Bells? It has 70 Sifrei Torah in there in the Aron Kodesh.
Wow.
My daughter's school, my grandmother, did a tour of the synagogue.
Right, so there you go.
Awesome.
Ve'ein Bahem. So they're apparently over in Isidro. Okay, no problem. Ve'ein Echnasa Bahem Bechama 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 Bechama. And you're not allowed to go into the shuls during the summertime because it's so hot, or during the wintertime because it's raining. And you're not allowed to do a hesped of a hesped shel yachid, which is basically a nicer way of saying like a jo shmo. You can't be maspid a jo shmo in a shul. It's not kavadik. But what you are allowed to do in a shul is you can read psukim, and you can learn mishnayis, and you can do a hesped shel rabim, which is a hesped of tamidei chachamim. I think... I haven't seen this anywhere, but I think what the Gemara is saying, because for the Gemara to say that you're allowed to read a pasuk or you're allowed to learn a Mishnah in a shul, like, of course you're allowed to. Why would I think that you're not allowed to learn Torah in a shul? That's absurd. But I think what the Gemara is saying is, in reference to a hesped shel rabim, which is a hesped of a tamidei chachamim, mimela in such a hesped, there are going to be psukim quoted and Mishnah is learned. And therefore, you can do a hesped shel rabim in a shul. But a hesped shel yachid, where you're being maspid a Joe Schmo, who was an auto mechanic and worked 14 hours a day in the shop, what are you going to say about the guy? He was a nice guy, you know. But you're not going to start, you know, doing all these limudim. So for a hesped shel yachid, you shouldn't do it because you're not going to be quoting Torah. For a hesped shel rabim, where memela Torah is going to be learned because it's a talmud chacham, I think that's what it's saying. But anyway, I'm Rabbi Yehuda. Amosai.
For sure not applied today about not doing a hesped for a yachid. Like, you do a hesped for anyone in a shul today.
Yeah.
Even someone's not shomer mitzvahs.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, could you imagine them saying no? Sorry, we can't do a hesped for him. He's a yachid. He's not important enough. Like, I can't imagine someone doing that.
Yeah.
It's like denigrating the mace.
Yeah. The last thing.
Yeah. Yeah, okay, Enechanami, I don't know. I don't know how this applies to halacha nowadays and what the kulus there are, but you're right, we do that. Anyway, I'm Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda says, Emosai, when is all this true? Be yishuvan. That's when they're settled, when they're actually used. Ava b'chur banan, when they have been destroyed. Manichin oso, you leave them be. Va'olin b'hen asavim, you let grass and the weeds grow. V'lo yitlosh mipnei agmas nefesh, and you should not cut down the grass and the weeds because of agmas nefesh, to show your sorrow and your anguish over the loss of the shul. So Rabbi Yehuda all of a sudden is talking about leaving the shul be and letting grass grow, but the Tanakhama said nothing about cutting down grass. It just said that you have to treat it with a certain level of respect, but he never said anything about grass. So the Gemara says, Asav mandakar shamayhu. Who said anything about grass that all of a sudden Rabbi Yehuda says, hold on, that's only if it's settled. But if it's korbanon, then you have to let the grass grow. Like, who said anything about the grass? So the Gemara says, what's going on here? So the Gemara says, now chasura mechzura. There's really parts missing in the Braisa. You have to understand it the following way. V'hachi katani. This is what the Braisa really means to say. Umachabdinosan, the Braisa meaning the Tanakama, when they're saying you can be masped a hespel shel rabim, they continue and say, Umachabdinosan, umarbitzinosan. You have to be machabit umarbitz the ground, which means that you have to sweep it up and you have to mop it to make sure that it's straight and that it's clean. In order that grass and weeds do not grow from it, because obviously they didn't have cement and tiled flooring like we have. They had the shuls that were situated on ground, on hard ground. You know, so it was very shayach that the grounds that they had, the dirt grounds, would be growing weeds and grass if they didn't tend to that. And Amar Rabbi Yehuda, on that Rabbi Yehuda says, Emosai, when is that true?
Is that really the case?
Now what?
The floors of the shuls weren't stone?
Sometimes they were stone, because we have gemaras, you know, that say you're not allowed to bow down and whatnot. Yeah. Sometimes they were stone, but sometimes they were not. Sometimes they were just built on top of dirt grounds. So times are changing.
That's
how it used to be. Right? No, this is back in your day, back 80 years ago in your day, right? Back when you were a kid 80 years ago. Yeah? You know these things? You know these things for fact? I don't know where the shuls were. I don't know. You look at the if you go into these older shuls from many years ago, you know, they're not situated on dirt or flooring. I mean,
yeah, they're, you know, like so. Stone.
Right.
But where's that?
But I guess time? What? Because back in the times of the Tamaraim Amroim, they weren't so makbid about laying down cement. I think they mamash just, you know, put them up on the, you know, they just...
On dirt.
On dirt. They had dirt, and then they put up an arch, and they said, okay, it's a shul. Shalom Aleichem. I don't know. Do you not think so?
I don't think so. That's why I wonder where they made the takana about, with like all this stuff, that you can't bow down on the floor, and we have to...
Mm-hmm. I don't know. I don't know. Maybe yesh v'yesh. Maybe they had both. I don't know. This is beyond my pay grade right now. I think they did. The Gemara certainly sounds like they did.
I know in the Great Synagogue in Vilna, it started off as like a ground floor, not like stone, but like mamish dirt.
Oh, there you go. So there you have it. And that was only a few hundred years ago.
Yeah, it was like 500 years
right,
ago.
Right, right. So there you have it. The Maharal shul has a nice floor. Well, it's the Maharal, after all. I'm Rabbi Yehuda Ema Sabi Yeshuvan. This is only when it's settled. Aval b'churbanu, when it's been destroyed, manichadosa, then we leave it be, lalos in order for it to grow. Aluba asam, and if the grass grows or the weeds grow, lo yitlosh mipnei agmas nefesh, you should not cut it down in order to express your anger or your anguish over the loss of the shul. Okay. I'm Ravasi says, batik nisil sheva bavel. Base Knesset in Bavel, Al Tanai Hein Asuyin. They were built on condition that you can, in fact, do these things. You're allowed to be Matayil in them. You're allowed to Ochel Veshose. You're allowed to do these things. So it could be also, it could be that nowadays we have such a Tanai as well. Mm-hmm. Meaning, I don't know if it's Tanai has to be verbally expressed, but maybe it's just assumed that when we build a shul nowadays, we're all a bunch of amaratzim and we're just going to eat and drink and be merry in the shul, and that's just the way the shul is going to be. So Ravasi says that's the way it was. V'afal pike, nevertheless, ein nogen bahen kalus rosh. We do not allow extreme levity. in the shuls, even though they're built al tanai. Umaynihu, what would be such a levity? Cheshbonos, if you were to make calculations, you start talking about business, you start making calculations. Not cheshbonos shel mitzvah, we're not talking about stock and whatnot. We're talking about making calculations, like business calculations, when all of a sudden you're having a chavrusa, and then you decide, you know, talk about business, that's inappropriate. Amar Ravasi, Ravasi says, but basic nesses, Ravasi says further, a shul in which cheshbonos are being calculated, we have to allow a mace to lie there overnight. So says the Gemara, what? What does one have to do with the other? You want to tell me you have to let a mace lie there overnight if you calculate cheshbonos? Lo sagi d'lav hachi. It is it's inappropriate if you don't. Meaning you must let a mace lie there overnight. What's going on? So the Gemara says no. Ella lesof. What will happen for a community that allows its shul such levity in a shul? Right, lasof shialina bo meis mitzvah. Somebody who has no krovim is just going to be. It's going to happen. Is you're going to have somebody who has no krovim. He's going to end up lying there, and the shul is going to end up being used as a meis for a halanas hameis. What exactly is the connection between doing cheshbonos and having a mace, or certainly a mace mitzvah, lie there? I really don't know. I don't understand it. I don't have any clues. But that's what the Gemara says. It's that the punishment of somebody who is mechashel cheshbonos. The ein eosen bahen, you're not allowed to adorn yourself. Amar Rava, chachamim v'talmideihem mutarim. However, the chachamim and the talmidim of the chachamim are allowed to adorn themselves. What does it mean that they adorn themselves? Maybe they put on right guard. The Amar Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish, my bay rabbanon. What does it mean, the house of the rabbanon? Why do they call a shul a house of the rabbanon? Because based on the rabbanon, because it was indeed, it was like their shul. It was like their home away from home. Right? They didn't just learn 11 hours a day and then go home at 5 o'clock for supper. They were mamish. Their shul was mamish their house. We used to, when I was in Or Yushalayim, so there was a small base medrash, which was right next to the big base medrash that Or Yushalayim had. There was a small base medrash, and there were maybe two or four kolonics who sat there and learned all day and all night. And they slept maybe 3 or 4 hours a night on a bench. Mamish, they slept on a bench, and they only went home for Shabbos. And they their job, their parnasa was editing the Stipler and I think his son Rav Chaim Kanievsky's Svarim. They would edit the Svarim and they would get paid for the edits, and they would make the notes on the Svarim, and then they would send them back, and that was their parnasa.
So
but
the
otherwise,
the only way to do it would be to be in the shul like 18 to 22 hours a day going through all of his kuntros?
I guess so. I mean, they were learning also. I don't know what else they were learning, but those guys were very, very, very stark. So that's what
they didn't see their families during the week, just on Shabbos?
Right. They just went home for Shabbos.
Was there a shower in there?
I don't think that there were showers, no. That's just what they did. These guys were committed 100% to their learning, and that was it. They went home for Shabbos. That was it. Anyway, that's the base of the Rabbanon. That's what a base of the Rabbanon is. It was their house, and so therefore, those guys were allowed to eat a bagel. They could eat a bagel. You're not allowed to go into the shul in the summertime because it's hot, or in the wintertime because it's raining. You can't just use it as an escape, okay? It's not a Holiday Inn, okay? So, Kihad Ravina, this is like the case of Ravina, V'Rav'ad V'Ramasna. These two guys, Havukaimi V'Shali She'ultime Rava, they got up and they asked a Shaila of Rava, Asa Zilcha Dimitra, and then it started to drizzle outside. Aili Lebe Kanishta, what did they do? They went inside Shul. Amri, they said, "Hi, Dailina Lebe Kanishta. The fact that we're going into the shul, Lav Mishum Mitra, it's not because of the rain, Ela Mishum Deshmaitza by Tzilusa. It's because our learning requires clarity. Kiyoma Da'astana, like the day of a northern wind. The day of a northern wind is a very clear wind, and it's very soothing and calm. And so our learning requires a level of clarity. And the fact that it's drizzling, raining outside, does not provide that clarity. Therefore, we're going inside the shul. But don't think that the reason we're going inside is because of the rain. We're not allowed to go in because of the rain. And maybe that's why it's important that the Gemara is madgish, that it was zilcha demitra. It was just a drizzle. Right? The Gemara is saying, it wasn't like it was pouring outside and they went inside and so it was so obvious that they were going inside because of the rain. It was a drizzle. So clearly, they could have stayed outside and they wouldn't have gotten soaking wet. They went inside because Shmaitza Boitzilusa. Okay. Amale Rav Acha Bered Rava, the Rav Ashi. I Isrich Lilinish Lemikri Gavra Mibik Nishta Mai. What if somebody has to call somebody out from the shul? So you're not supposed to go into the shul to be matai. You're not supposed to make levity of the shul. Can you go in? How do you go in and get hold of the guy if you're not allowed to go into the shul stam? What do you do? So Amr Lay, he said, eat Tzorvim Rabbanon, if you are a young Talmud Chacham, so here's what you do. Say a halacha inside the shul, and then you can get whoever you need to get, then you can speak to the person, because you already made the shul into a serious place. V'itana, and if you are a lomin mishnayis, lema masnis and sasei a mishnah, then it's good enough. V'ikara, and if you're not capable of those two, but you do know Torah shebichsav, so then lema psuka, so then I say a pasuk. V'ilo, and you don't even know that. I don't know how you don't know that, because how do you not know Shema Yisrael, Shema Lekeinu, Shema Lecha? But if you don't know psukim, lem leli yonuka im li psukich. Say to a young child who's in the shul, tell me a pasuk, teach me something. That'll be good enough. Inami, or nishi porta v'nikum, or come into the shul, settle yourself down, take a minute or a second to think about the fact that you're in a serious place, and then you can go about your way, get up, and then, you know, call out whoever you need to call out. So that would be sufficient. The point is, in all this, the point is that a person should not treat the shul with a sense of levity. You come in with a sense of seriousness, so whatever your darga is, you should treat it with that level of seriousness. Umaspidim behen hespid shel rabim. You are to be maspid. You can be maspid a hespel shel rabim. Hechidami hespeda de rabim. What would be a case of a hesped de rabim? Define it. Machvi rav chizda kigon hespeda de koi bay rav sheshes. So rav chizda motioned to rav sheshes as if to say, if rav sheshes were to, he didn't say it explicitly, he motioned. Machvi means he motioned, right? Because he didn't want to say, you know, if rav sheshes here were to die, that would be a hesped de rab. So he would, you know, point to rav sheshes, motioning to rav sheshes. That would be a gavar rabba over there. Machvi rav sheshes could go to hesped de koi be rav chizda. And rav sheshes did the opposite thing back. They're like pointing to each other and saying, death to you. Anyway, Rafram masav aspedala kalse bebe kanishta. Rafram was maspid his daughter-in-law in a shul, and Amar, how did he justify it? He said, "Mishum yikra d'diu d'misa asakuli alma." It's because of the kavod that they're going to give me, and the kavod that they're going to give to the mace. So a lot of people are going to come. It's going to be a hesped shel rabim mimela because of the kavod that some people have for me and some people have for my daughter-in-law. I don't know who his daughter-in-law was. I'm assuming that she was a tzadekis in her own right. Rav Zera safte lahu mirabana bebe kanishta. Rav Zera was maspid a Talmud Chacham in shul. Amar, he said, imishum yikra didi, imishum yikra didei, demisa, asikuli alma. Whether it's for me or whether it's for the mace, we're going to get a crowd. So it's considered a hesped shel rabim because of myself or because of the mace or because of both of us, it will be enough of a hesped shel rabim to justify doing it in shul. Reish Lakish safte lehu tzuvim rabbanon deshchiach ba'arid Yisrael. Reish Lakish gave a hesped for a certain young Talmud Chacham who was very frequent in Eretz Yisrael to have a tani hilchas abechavta l'shuros shurta. He would learn halachos among 24 rows of Talmidim. So he was a big Talmud Chacham who would also apparently teach his Torah to many, many disciples. Amar, he said, Voy chasra arad Yisrael, gavra rabba. Eretz Yisrael has lost a gavra rabba, a great man. That was the hesped that Reish Lakish gave to this man. Hahuda havitani hilchasa sifra v'sifir v'tosefta. There was a certain man who had learned it all. He had learned Gemara's Medrash, Sifri, Toseftas, Veshachiv, and he died. Asu va'amru leilu Rav Nachman. They said, they came to Rav Nachman, and they said, Lispadei Mar. Mar should give a hesped for this guy. This guy was big stuff. Amr, he said, Hechi naspadei. How am I going to be masped? Haitzana damali sifri dechaser. How am I going to be masped a guy who has a basket full of svarim, and now he's dead? Basically, Rav Nachman gave no respect to this guy, because he said, this guy, yeah, he learned a lot, but he wasn't really mishamis anybody, as Rashi says. He wasn't mishamis any Talmidei Chachamim. And so he learned Svarim. So he had a lot of knowledge, but he didn't have the full breadth and depth of Torah because he wasn't mishamis Talmidei Chachamim. So he's like a basket full of Svarim. It's like a basket full of books. But what does books do for you? Books do nothing for you if you're not promulgating the Torah, if you're not being ma'amik in the Torah. And so that was Rav Nachman's chastisement of such a young Talmud Chacham. And therefore, we're all in a lot of trouble. Tochaz, he says the Gemara, come and see Ma ben Takifi da'ar d'Yisrael l'chasidi d'Bavel. Come see what is the difference between a Takifi da'ar d'Yisrael is a reference to Reish Lakish who lived in Eretz Yisrael. Takifi means he's very strong, and Rashi says that is a reference to his haughtiness, that he never really gave any kavod to anybody. He would just kind of, he was in his own ballpark, and he would not give any.
To quote Rod Dangerfield, it's more.
Yeah, he gives no respect. He gave no respect, right? So that was Reish Lakish on the one hand, and the Chassidi, the Bavel, Rav Nachman, who was known as a Chassid, he was very, very big Yorei Shamayim and Yorei Chet. He was a Chassid, and he was in Bavel. That appears to be a very tangential and separate line, having really nothing to do with Lechora, nothing to do with anything we have previously learned. I will try to weave that line into what we learn now, coming up now, but I'm not sure if I'm going to be successful. Anyway, I don't really know. I haven't seen anybody who discusses what that line is really doing here. But anyway, Tanan HaSami, we have a mission in the Avos that says, U'dishtamish betaga chalof. He who utilizes the crown, the jewels of the crown, chalof, he will die. Pani Reish Lakish, Reish Lakish learned this to mean, Zeh HaMishtamish b'mish shona halachos, Kiswa Shel Torah should be crossed out. The Bach says that doesn't belong here. It's Zeh HaMishtamish b'mish shona halachos. Anybody who makes chulin use of somebody who has learned halachos, that person is going to die. That is inappropriate. Va'amar Ula says further, L'shtamish inish b'manda tani arba, v'lo l'shtamish b'manda masni arba. You may make use of somebody who has learned four sedarim of Mishnayis. Those four sedarim are Moed, Nashim, Nezikim, and Kudshim. Those are the four main ones, because Tarus and Zroim are not really as applicable nowadays, because we don't really have Tyrus, and most of Zroim, especially for Bnei Bavel, don't really apply. So therefore, he who has learned four Siddurim of the four big Siddurim of Mishnayis, you may still get Hana and utilize that person. But somebody who has taught if you have taught those four Siddurim, you're on a Madrega by yourself, and nobody should make use of you. That would be inappropriate. Ki hadu Reish Lakish. Like the story of Reish Lakish. Hava azu b'orcha. Reish Lakish was walking along the way. Mata orcha madamaya. He came to a puddle of water that was big enough he couldn't cross it. Asa hu gavra arkaveya kaspeya. A certain man came along and put Reish Lakish on his shoulders. The kama avrele, and he crossed the puddle of water for him. And as he was crossing, amrele, Reish Lakish says to the man, Karisa, have you learned psukim? Amrele Karina, yeah, I do that. Tanisa, what about Mishnayis? Taninan, yeah, Tanina Arba Sidri, Mishnah. I've learned four Siddurim of Mishnayis. What are those four? Moed, Nashim, Nezikim, and Kachim. I've learned four of the main ones. Amar Lei. So Reish Lakish said to him, what are you doing putting me on your shoulders? Pasalta Lecha Arba Ture. You have hewed, you have carved through four rows, basically four sedarim of Mishnayos, v'ta'anta bar lakish akasbech, and you're now carrying Rish Lakish, me, on your shoulders, it's inappropriate. You're too much of a Talmud Chacham to be doing that. Shadi bar lakish v'maya, throw me into the water. I don't want to be on your shoulders anymore. Amar Leis, so the man says, no, nichali dash ma'inan lamar, it's good for me that I should be mishames you, because you are a much greater Talmud Chacham than I am, and therefore it is appropriate for me to be doing this. So it says Rish Lakish, ihachi, if that's the case, Gamar mini hamilsa. I want you to learn from me the following matter, the following halacha. Da amar Reb Zeira, because Reb Zeira says, Benos Yisrael hein hechmir al atzman. Benos Yisrael were very machmir on themselves. Shafil rose tipas dam kechardal. Even if they see a tipas dam, a small drop of blood, the size of a chardal, Yoshvas alav shivanakim. They sit shivanakim. They sit seven days of clean days for this. Now, if it's important to know the basic halacha, which is that you have Yemei Nida and Yemei Ziva for a woman. That's her cycle. It's Yemei Nida, which is 7 days of Nida, and then there's Yemei Ziva of 11 days of Ziva. Those 11 days of Ziva mean that if she sees a flow of blood three consecutive days, then she's considered Tmeya, and she has to wait Zayinakim. If a woman is in the Yemei Nida, then even a drop of blood would make her Midaraisa, a Nida, even a drop of blood. So here we're talking about a woman in Yemei Ziva, that even if she sees a drop of blood, she waits Zayinakim as if she were a Nida. That's how machmir they are themselves. And that's what he's telling him. As if she's a Zava Gadola. Zava Gadola, right. Like a Nida would be, right. She's one drop of blood makes her, she's considering herself into a Zava Gadola. Okay. As a side point on this, why, as Sassan, as I was learning this, and Sassan asked me, why all of a sudden is he bringing this halacha? Like, why is he teaching him this halacha out of nowhere? So I tainted the following. I said, the guy said to Rish Lakish, I've learned four Siddharim of Mishnayos. Those are Moed, Nashim, Nezikim, and Kudshim. So what does Rish Lakish do? He teaches them a halacha from Taras. Taras, and he says, that B'nos Yisrael Achmir al-Asim, Shafilu Roz Tipas Dam, Kechardal. What's a chardal? It's a seed. That's Zroim. So you have to know Zroim, basic Zroim, in order to know the size of a chardal. So he's teaching them Taras, and he's teaching them Zroim, as if to say, there's two more Siddharim of Mishnayos that you have not yet learned. That's my pshat. Anyway, That's what the Gemara says. So, if you wrap all this together, the whole thing, it's very strange, because the Gemara is here bringing a story of Reish Lakish, and it's trying apparently to corroborate the fact that a person should not make use of somebody who has taught, who's taught Torah.
But
so,
he didn't say that he taught Torah. That's what's so bizarre. He doesn't say he taught Torah. Right? He said he learned all of it.
Right. He said he learned it. So maybe the Gemara is bringing a raya for the fact that Reish Lakish was allowed to get hanah from this person, utilize this person, because this guy, in fact, did not teach the Torah. He had only said that he learned it. Maybe. I don't know. Mm-hmm. But it's very strange that the Gemara beforehand had said, for whatever reason, that Reish Lakish was a tekifi. He was a haughty person who wouldn't normally give any credence to anybody else. But here he seemed to be giving a level of credence by saying, I don't want to take Hana from you. And not only that, but in the previous story, he had said that he had been maspid a person who was a great haspid for a guy who was learning, who had taught Torah to 24 shuros of people. So to put all this together, I don't know exactly how you teach all this, but these are three stories of Reish Lakish. You need some kind of biur. But at any rate, the Gemara ends off with a very famous quote, Tana Debeyo Eliyahu, Kol Hashana Halachos B'chol Yom, Kol Hashana Halachos, it probably says Kol Yom somewhere else, Muftach Lo Shuv En Olam Haba, anybody who learns Halachos every day, he is Muftach that he will get Olam Haba, Shenemar, Halichos Olam Lo, the Pasuk says, this is a Pasuk in where? It is in Chabakuk, Halichos Olam Lo, the world will be for him, for halichos. So I'll take me halichos ela halachos. Halachos will get you to Olam Haba, and nothing else will. We will stop here. We could go weiter, but we'll just stop here, and we'll call it a day. Good Shabbos.
Monday night?
My wife just texted me that my kids were stuck in the elevator.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, our elevator just jams up every once in a while. The kids got stuck in there. Baruch Hashem, it was only the two oldest. And with that, we conclude tonight's shir. Mm.